As you heard Megan tell the kids just a little bit ago, it's the season of Lent. This past Wednesday, we kicked it off with Ash Wednesday, putting the ashes on your foreheads in the sign of a cross, remembering that you were created from dust, and to dust you will return. And this season is a time for us to really reflect and meditate on our sinfulness, focusing on repentance, and repentance meaning to turn from the way we're going and to go in an opposite direction. God constantly told his people to repent, turn from your wicked ways and come, return to me. And that's what Lent is all about. And we get 40 days to really focus on this time of year as we lead up to Easter Sunday, when we get to celebrate Jesus rising from the tomb. But before we get there, there's lots of things we can talk about that help us reflect and meditate during this time. And speaking of 40 days, the text that we're going to read today also involves 40 days. And I'm going to be in Luke chapter 4. And I titled this message, The Amazing Crimson Thread. And for those that have been here, have heard me say this before, but those that haven't, the crimson thread, of course, is Jesus. And this event that we're going to read here in Luke chapter 4 is a perfect example of the crimson thread tying the whole Bible together into one narrative of events. And so let's take a look at the first couple verses here in Luke chapter 4. I have them on the screen for you. And this is the temptation of Jesus. So, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. Well, obviously, he hadn't ate for 40 days, right? But here we go. Jesus being led by the Spirit into the wilderness is no accident. So this wilderness thing and the number 40, which is a big number in the Bible, it means a time of trial. But it should remind us of another 40, the 40 years that the children of Israel spent in the wilderness wandering around as God led them to the promised land. But this one's a little bit different. You see, Jesus is now being led into the wilderness for 40 days. The difference here is the children of Israel, during their 40 years in the wilderness, were not remaining faithful to God. They were being tempted to sin, and a lot of times they succumbed to that temptation. I like that word, by the way, succumb. It's a good word. But they gave into that a lot. They would whine and complain about different things. They would complain about food, even though they were being provided food and water by God. But then they got tired of the food that they were getting. So they continued to whine and complain. And now we fast forward to this event here in Luke 4 where Jesus is being led into the wilderness where he fasts for 40 days. He does not eat. And Jesus is faithful. Whereas God's chosen people, the Israelites, were not faithful, God's Son is faithful in the wilderness. And so let's take a look at these temptations. There's three of them that are recorded in the Gospels for us. And the first one is here, Luke chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." So you notice a really interesting thing here about when Satan comes and starts tempting Jesus. Jesus is at his weakest because he has an eight. When does Satan like to come and mess with you and I? Especially when we're at our weakest, when things aren't going well in our life, having a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, Satan's going to come because you're at your weakest. And this is what he's doing with Jesus. And so he asks Jesus, he knows he's hungry, turn this stone into bread, you know, if you really are the Son of God. You see, Satan did know that he was the Son of God, but he's kind of like daring him. You know, you remember as a kid when you would dare people, your friend to do something, and then somebody would slap on the double dog dare, and then you had to do it? I remember in basketball the other night here in this gym, I dared somebody because I didn't want to guard them. Out at the three-point line, I dare you to shoot it, and they shot it and drained it. Right in my face. But that's what Satan's doing here. He wants to tempt Jesus, to dare him to prove that he's the Son of God. In other words, focus on yourself, Jesus. And this should speak to each and every one of us, too. When Satan comes and attacks us and tempts us, he wants us to focus on ourselves and what our needs are and what we want to do and what we think should happen. He wants us to focus on ourselves. He comes and whispers in our ears and says, you should doubt what God's word really says about that. Why would God allow you to go through something like this? You know, he's probably whispering those things in Jesus' ear. Jesus, why, if God really loves you, would he allow you to suffer in this wilderness with no food for 40 days? You see, Satan wants us to doubt what God's word says. He wants us to doubt that God is there with us. We are never alone in the wilderness that we live in this world. And we can all talk about the different wildernesses that we live in on a daily basis. We are never alone, but Satan wants you to think you're alone. And Jesus, of course, being the Son of God and being awesome and being the amazing crimson thread, responds to Satan with God's word. And he is tying the Bible here together beautifully for us, showing us that the Bible is one narrative event. He quotes Deuteronomy 8:3, which says, man does not live by bread alone. And later on in Jesus' ministry, Jesus is going to tell his disciples that he is the bread of life. We don't live on bread, the physical bread that we eat to sustain our bodies. But Jesus is really our life and what we live on. And so now this leads us into temptation number 2. Verses 5 through 8. And the devil took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to Jesus, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. In other words, Satan is saying to Jesus and to us here, focus on worldly stuff. You see, Satan took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, I will give you power over all these kingdoms if you just bow down and worship me. Satan is a pretty arrogant dude, thinking he, you know, has the power to do that. But he's trying to get Jesus. You see, Satan isn't stupid. He knows why Jesus came, putting on flesh, so that he could take care of this sin problem. And he is offering Jesus an easy way out here. I will just give you all these kingdoms of the world, and you don't have to really come and do what you came here to do. You know, and that's exactly what Satan does to us when he's tempting us. Focus on this worldly stuff. That's the next thing on your sheets. Look at these things. Focus on how much money you have, how you are doing in your job. Focus on what your neighbors are doing and how much stuff they have. Focus on sports. Focus on academics. Focus on this. Satan doesn't care what we're focusing on as long as it's not focusing on Jesus. And so Jesus, of course, answers with Scripture. But the amazing thing about this, you know, Jesus came for a purpose, and he wasn't going to let Satan deter him. You see, the Bible is all connected. It's the same theme. It's the same plan. It's the same thing. God has been consistent from the beginning. In order to cover sin, there has to be a life taken. There has to be blood shed. It's the same throughout the whole Bible. We can look all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God is actually the first one that took a life. Do you remember that? He took an animal's life to cover Adam and Eve after they had sinned because they were naked and made them clothes. It was a life taken, shedding of blood to cover sin. It's been the same theme throughout the whole Bible from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden. The Israelites had to make sacrifices to God to atone for their sins. They sacrificed animals. And there had to be bloodshed. And the blood that was shed covered their sin. You see, sin's a big deal. And God has to deal with it. And he has been consistent with how he's dealt with it from the beginning. He hasn't changed. And now he's sending his son Jesus to die, to take his life and shed his blood to cover our sin. And so with this second temptation that Satan throws at Jesus, Jesus answers with Scripture, like I said, and he quotes Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. He said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And so this leads us to the third temptation, verses 9 through 13, and it says this, "And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Jesus, 'If you are the Son of God,'" again with the "if you are the Son of God," tempting, daring Jesus, "'throw yourself down from this temple, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until another time." And so you heard that right, by the way. Satan quoted Scripture to try to get to tempt Jesus. Satan is quoting something from Psalm 91. I'll let you check it out. But Satan intentionally leaves a phrase out of that passage. You see, this serves as a reminder to us to watch out for people that are distorting Scripture. You see, you can pretty much use Scripture to say anything you want it to say. If somebody is distorting Scripture, watch out. Because that's what Satan's doing here with Jesus. He's saying, "You can throw yourself down off this temple. The angels will come and save you." And of course, Jesus. And so that I have up there on the screen for you. I almost forgot this. So in other words, the temptation he's throwing at Jesus here, because Satan's quoting Scripture, "Did God really say?" And this is another major arrow in Satan's arsenal that he throws at each and every one of you. Did God really say you shouldn't do that? Did God really say this is how life works? Did God really say you're not supposed to be in control of your old life? And this should remind us again all the way back to Eden. This is how he got Adam and Eve to sin, by throwing this question at them. Did God really say not to eat of this tree? Another major bullet he uses to tempt us too. Did God really say? You see, Satan wants us to doubt what God's word says and to focus on ourselves and focus on our stuff in this world and focus on whatever it is in this world that we focus on. And again, Jesus answers with Scripture. And this is another good message for us when we are tempted to answer these temptations with God's Word. Again, Jesus says, it is written, don't put the Lord your God to the test. He's quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. And so why would Jesus go through all this? Jesus overcame all these temptations from Satan for you. And if there's one thing you take from this message, remember that. This is all done for you. We have a Savior, Jesus, who knows what it's like to be tempted by Satan. He knows what it's like when you are tempted by Satan. He understands. We have a Savior who understands, who went through this. Satan wanted Jesus to mess up because Satan knew what was at stake. He wouldn't be able to keep wreaking havoc if Jesus came and took care of sins, because we'd all be in hell with him. That's what he wants. But Jesus was on a mission. And this is where it starts. And it ends, of course, in Jerusalem, where Jesus goes with eyes like flint. Scripture tells us he has one focus, because he knows it's impossible for us to survive in this wilderness without screwing up. Am I right? It is hard to go a day without messing up. Jesus went through all this because he knew that. A mission that is impossible for us is very possible for him. He went through all these temptations of Satan. He went through the false accusations, the beatings, the being spit on, being made fun of, being mocked, being flogged, and then finally being nailed to a cross, the most horrific way to die. And he did it all for you. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for that amazing crimson thread. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he came to take care of the things that we can't do on our own. Father, during this Lenten season, we pray that you help us to keep our focus on you. Help us to resist those temptations to focus on ourselves and the world around us and to doubt your word. Give us the strength to respond to these temptations with your word. And Father, we truly do live in a wilderness. We all live in different wildernesses, and you know that. And we thank you that we are never alone, and there's all kinds of things going on. And Father, we have a long prayer list of people that are suffering in one way or another, and we bring them before you. Stuart, Anna, Baby Benton, Gail, Marcel, Brad, Rosie, Marty, Larry, Mona, Lisa, Steve, Ken, Reverend Doubleday, Jeff, Sherry, Adam, Jackie, Peter, Adeline. Father, we bring all these people before you. You know what each and every one of their situations is, and we pray that you bring them through it, helping them to understand that you are with them no matter what. And we now pray the prayer together as your sons and daughters, the prayer that Jesus himself taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed,